Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
Either internet or television, whatever technology they're using. And in that time, he gave his heart to Jesus. And he passed. But she said, I know where he's at now. And so, you know, that's what it's all about. We have no idea what God is doing. I mean, because there's a lot of people. We had a guy drive up here a couple years ago from Tulsa, and he just came up to me after the service. And he said, I just want to let you guys know there's a group of us in Tulsa that watch every service. We're behind you. We pray for you. We support you. And you, the services bless us so powerfully. So, you know, God's using that, and he's using our time here. And so we're so excited about what he's doing. You know, the Bible says heaven rejoices over one sinner repenting. So when that guy that was laying in that bed gave his heart to Jesus, all of heaven rejoiced. I would hope and pray that God would put that same spirit of joy on us over seeing the lost saved. I wish that we would get as excited about the lost being saved as God is. Amen. So let's just go to the Lord. You can remain seated. We'll just pray for the service, and then I don't know who's going to start the service this morning. But after we pray, then we'll just go to regularly scheduled programming. Father, you are so good. You are so good. We welcome you into this place, Lord. I thank you for answered prayer, God. I thank you, Father, for the souls that have been saved. I thank you, Lord, for every life that's been encouraged. I thank you, Father, for helping people. God, you know my heart. That's all I want. I want to see people helped. I don't care what they need, Lord. I want to see them helped. I want to see them encouraged. I want to see them healed. I want to see them saved, God. I want to see them baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to see them baptized in water. I want to see them come out of the prisons, God. I want to see them be delivered from all the bondages of darkness, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you just keep helping people, Lord. Correct us when we need correcting, Lord. Embrace us when we need embraced. Hold us near to you, Lord. I pray that you would just reveal yourself to us in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that we would begin to discover and understand what it means to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Father, I pray, Father, that we would be good at following your instructions, Lord. That we would hear your voice, that we would obey you, God, and we would not get caught up in what Brother McGregor talked about, prophelying. We don't want to be prophelyers, God. We want to be prophesiers, God. We don't want to say what we want to say. We want to say what you are saying, God. I pray when we open our mouths, Lord, that you'd put your words in our mouths, God, because we know that anything that you send your word to do, it will accomplish, Father. And I thank you so much for your goodness. And I thank you, Father, for the people that are gathered here today to see you move in this place, God. And we welcome you to move in this place, God. We pray in the name of Jesus that every facet of ministry that is going on today would bring glory to you, God. I pray that people would be so blessed, Father, by you and your presence that they could walk past and out of bondage and sickness and famine and pestilence and disease, God. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, every kind of disease be healed in Jesus' name. You said in Psalm 103:3 that you heal all our diseases, God. So that means diabetes. That means heart disease. That means cardiovascular disease. That means cancer. That means blood disorders, brain disorders, organ dysfunction. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you're the healer of kidneys, that you're the healer of bladders, God, that you're the healer of stomachs, God, and of legs and feet and hands and arms and necks and backs, God. I thank you, Father, that you are well able to cause digestive systems to function perfectly in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, you are well able, and we welcome you to do these things. I pray, Father, that the gift of faith would just settle on this house today, that we would know that we know that we know that we know that you're not only the God that can do these things, but you are the God that is going to do these things. Father, so often we fall into the trap. Well, I know God can do it. I pray, Father, we begin to know God will do it in Jesus' name. God, just fill our hearts with faith. Fill our minds with encouragement, God. I pray that hard-heartedness and unbelief and doubt be gone from this place in the name of Jesus. Let God arise and the enemy be scattered in Jesus' name. Father God, just come into this place. Have your way here today, God. From beginning to end, Lord, I pray that we would worship you in a way that is worthy of who you are, God. I pray, Father, we would exalt your name in a way that is worthy of who you are, God. You are the God of all gods, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the supreme creator of the entire universe and all that exists, God. And we praise and bless your holy name. I will shout glory in the house of God. We praise you, Father, for what you're about to do in this place, helping every single person here, God. I pray, Father, no one walk out of this place today and say, the Lord did not touch me today. But I pray that we all walk out of here and say, I cannot wait to see what God does through me after that service. Father, have your way in Jesus' name. I pray favor, God, favor with you, favor with man, favor with things, favor with animals, favor with money over this congregation, God. Your favor over this congregation, Father, in Jesus' name. Come, Lord. Come and minister today, we pray. I thank you for everyone that's gathered here today, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm gonna give you all a prophetic word that the Lord gave me last couple of weeks for the coming year. And then we'll talk about some other things. I can't remember exactly what day it was. But I was praying and the Lord gave me a word. And that word was increase. Now, you got to be careful, and I've told you all this more than once, just thinking you know what that means. We have to have some definition from the Lord. So I'm gonna say that I don't know exactly what that means, but he spoke that word to me. I mean, that word just came to me very clearly, and it was in the morning, early in the morning, when I was reading scripture. And I'm starting out, you know, I'm reading through the seven chapters that we read through together. And I opened the Bible to the next chapter, and like the third word in that chapter was increase. And I get a email from Mark Visser. I sometimes it comes every couple of weeks, and sometimes it comes every couple of months. But I got an email about a week later, and reading through that email, If he said increase once, I don't even know how many times he said it, but he just kept saying it over and over and over. And so everywhere I've turned over the last couple of weeks, I see the word increase. Now, most of you, or at least some of you, if you prayed with us last year, and I do want to say, Brother Mike, whenever I said we didn't pray here Friday or Saturday, I didn't discount from what took place at Mike's on Monday. But Saturday and Friday are the two, especially Friday, is praying for this service. And that's why I wanted to spend some time praying this morning. But 2023, it was a year of pruning. How many remember that word last year at the end of the year? The Lord said it was going to be a time of pruning, a time of taking away, a time of cutting away, a time of refining. And so increase is the natural, and I shouldn't even use the word natural, it is the spiritual progression. In Acts of chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." God promises that times of repentance are followed by times of refreshing. And this morning, as I was praying for this service, and I don't know who you are. You don't have to come up to me after the service and say, "That was me. You don't have to do that. It's not necessary. I just know there's people here that feel like 2023 was not a year of progress for you. And I come here to tell you the devil is a liar. It may not feel like progress, but if you will show me one place in the scripture where God said for you to live by feelings, I'll back off of it. But if you can't show me that, then you listen to what the Lord says. We're not to live by feelings. And I'm going to get into it here in just a little bit with the word, but God promises that if you've endured hardship, if you've went through persecution, if you have felt the pressure of refinement and pruning in 23, if you've had trials, if you've had tribulations, if you've endured attacks, you have made progress. It's not an option. When you're a child of God, when you endure the trouble, there are promises that are made. And God promises progress. Hallelujah. I'm going to read it straight out of Romans 5 here in just a minute. But if you've been through difficulties and you're still in there, I'm going to talk about all of these things in a little more detail. But one of the things that Jesus said, if you abide in my word, that word abide means stay. So there's two things we've got to do. We've got to get started and we stay. If you get started and you stay, and you have felt the pressure of fire, you felt the pressure of refinement, you've made progress. So stop believing the lies. Stop it. You know, Charles, he was pretty mild the other day when he said, "Part your mustache and spit the nipple out." I'm telling you, spit it out. It's time we get past nursing on milk. And we stand up for who we are and who we are and be the people that God has called us to be. And you might say, "Well, that's easy for you to say." I'm going to tell you, if you live 2 weeks through the things that I go through sometimes, you wouldn't think that it's easy. And that's just all I'm going to say about it. In Psalm 37, I gave you the prophetic word, I gave you the encouragement, the edification. Now I'm going to preach to you. Psalm 37, verse 5. The Bible says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now that word commit is a very interesting word. The literal translation is to roll, as in rolling a stone. Life can be very heavy at times. Is there anybody here that understands what I'm talking about? I'm not speaking in Greek to this English crowd, am I? Sometimes life is hard. It's challenging. It's difficult. Sometimes we describe life as being heavy. God says, roll that heaviness onto me. I remember when Nathan Morris preached a sermon entitled The Divine Exchange. We trade in our death for His life. We trade Him our sinfulness for His righteousness. We trade in our filthy rags for robes of royalty. We trade in our brokenness for His healing. We trade in our lostness for being found. We trade our prison for freedom. God has offered us the gift of life. He has offered us the gift of salvation in Ephesians chapter 2. Remember that. Roll the heaviness of life onto God. This is all going to tie together. In verse 8 it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, the last time I taught, we were talking about the gifts of God. And for just a few more minutes, I want to show you how prevalent and powerful this truth of God's gift to us is, a solid biblical belief. This is solid stuff. And you know, I don't mean to pick on the Pentecostals, but there are so many in the Pentecostal movement do not believe salvation is a gift. They really don't. They think you have to do certain things in order to be saved. Now, I believe in fruit. I totally, absolutely believe in fruit. But it is not hard to become part of the family of God. It's by faith. Faith alone. It is the gift of God. And He said it right there. Because He said, if I didn't make it a gift, you'd brag about it. Look what I did to be saved. He said, you don't have any ground to brag. I did it all. That word gift is so interesting. It literally means sacrifice. I had never looked at it in that context as far as I knew the crucifixion of Jesus was the price that was paid for our salvation. But I never looked at it in the context of Ephesians 2 where He said it is the gift of God. His sacrifice is the gift. And you believe it. That's what you do to receive it. You believe. It's free to you. It empty heaven of its best. In Romans chapter 5, I'm not going to teach the entire chapter. I'm going to read the entire chapter because it is so good. But I'm going to bring something to your attention that Paul did. And I know it's intentional because I know who wrote it. I've never met Paul. He didn't write it. He was just a hand. The scriptures are inspired by the Holy Ghost. I know this is intentional. And it's amazing to me that this scholar, because Paul was, would go to the lengths that he did to drive home this point that we're talking about today. He said, therefore, having been justified by faith, there you go, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gift of God. You have peace with God through it. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we glory in tribulations. There it is. We already talked about this. You don't believe you made progress. You've been through hard times. The devil is a liar. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Right there is something very valuable to you. Remember, I told you, you got to get started and you got to stay. You can't stay without perseverance. You will give up, lose heart, and quit. And I'm going to tell you something. I know people, they don't believe in backsliding. I totally do. Why else would Jesus say, abide in my word? If we don't stay, if we refuse to not persevere, if we quit, it's dangerous. Because I'm telling you, none of us know we're going to wake up tomorrow. One of these days, that eastern sky is going to split open. I don't care what they say. He's coming back. And if you have quit, when he comes back, you will stand before him alone and naked and give an account of it. No fun. You better be standing in front of him in the righteousness that's produced by faith, the free gift of righteousness that you received. It's not, see, that's what people say, well, you can't lose it. You can throw it away. Have you ever received a gift in your life that you couldn't do something else with? We know that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still yet without strength, in due time, in the fullness of time, in the perfect timing of God, you just need to learn to wait on the perfect timing of God. Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Hallelujah. That's why I don't believe I'll be here when the wrath of God is poured out. He said we'll be saved from wrath through him. That is a direct line to a pre-tribulational rapture. Because the great tribulation is the wrath of God. We have not been appointed for wrath. Now, if you want to go ahead and endure some wrath of God, go right ahead. You stay as long as you want. That's your business. I'm not going to tell you you can't. But I'm out of here. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. There it is, Ephesians 2. That gift is a sacrifice. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, I want you to listen very closely. And I want you to count in your head the number of times you hear the word gift through the rest of this chapter. And not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came through one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace will reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, it is very interesting. The last time I taught, we talked about the different Greek words that are translated gift. We talked about three different words, and I could go over those, and just quickly, I'll just give you the words. Doron is a sacrifice there in Ephesians 2, is one of the first places we see it. Doria literally means a gratuity. It is a gift. Charisma, it also is gratuity. It is a gift. It's deliverance from danger, passion, spiritual endowment, religious qualification, miraculous faculty. If you look at the deep translation of the grace of God, it is the divine influence upon the human heart that it exudes itself. It expresses itself through our life. And here's the main point I want to make this morning. Paul uses all three of those words in this end of chapter 5 to describe the gift of salvation. All three of those words, he just keeps bouncing them back and forth. And why would he do that? Why wouldn't he just pick a word and use it? I'm telling you, it's because he's trying to hammer home the point. The Holy Spirit is trying to hammer home the point that the righteousness of God is a free gift to you and me. It cost heaven everything. Jesus left his glory. Jesus stepped out of eternity into the womb of a little virgin woman. I had five kids. I grew up in the wrong time, because when dad was, you know, when he was having kids, he just got to sit out in the waiting room and smoke cigars. Not me. They made me go in there. And I'm telling you, it looks like she's going to die, and you wonder how the baby can possibly live. Being born is a difficult thing. Hard for the mother, hard for the baby. It's no wonder that women love their children exponentially more than the fathers do. I mean, I've told you all, when Rusty left for college, Kathy sobbed. I mean, sobbed for 3 or 4 days. And I'm over there going, yes, 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 one down. Four to go. And it's not like I hate them. I love my kids. I just wanted them to go get their own place. I told you about Josiah. He turned 18. He's the baby. He comes up to me on his birthday. He says, well, he said, I'm 18. I ain't got to do nothing that you tell me to do no more. I said, you didn't tell me you were moving. He said, moving. He said, I'm not going anywhere, but I'm 18. I'm a man now. I said, as long as you live here, you'll do what I tell you to do. If you're going to do what you want to do, go find a place. He just turned around and walked off. He didn't have anything else to say. Mom would have probably been agreeable. She carried him around in her belly for 9 months. She went through the process of birth. There's an attachment there that men just can't understand. Jesus endured all that. And I don't know if y'all have ever watched The Chosen. It's a pretty cool show. I don't know that it's totally accurate. I'm going to say this. This is in my heart this morning. And I've kind of said this before. But we need to not look so much at the arrogance of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but we need to be careful that we're not displaying the same. They knew the Scripture better than any of us ever will. I'm telling you, they knew the Scripture, and Jesus was within feet of them, and Jesus is the Word. And they did not recognize Him. We need to be careful to think that we understand everything there is to understand in the Scripture. We need to be humble. I was praying this morning. I said, Lord, I don't really know all there is about humility. I said, all I know is I just keep asking you to help me, Lord. Just help me. I need you, Lord. And I'm praying to be humble, Lord. If there's more facets to humility than I know, please teach me. I want to be humble before you, Lord. Because He makes this promise. He said, He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. He said, I resist the proud, but I draw the humble near me. That's who I want to be. I want to be somebody He draws near. Paul used all three of those different words for gift in that Romans chapter 5. He just kept bouncing them off of each other, bouncing them off of each other, bouncing them off of each other, because he wants us to understand salvation is a gift. It's a gift. You can't do anything for it other than receive it. Do you work for a gift? Do you earn a gift? If you earn it, it's not a gift, it's a wage. God had told me to give away my truck, and I wasn't real happy to do that. I'm not going to lie. And a friend of mine, Walt, he called me, he wanted to borrow my truck. And I thought that was weird because I think he had a better truck than I did, but you know, Walt's a good friend. If he needs my truck, no big deal. And so when I get home that evening, because I'm at work, I'm somewhere and I don't have my truck. Maybe I went fishing with somebody and they drove. But whenever I got home, 4 brand new tires on the truck. And I called him because I'd been dragging my feet on giving this truck away. Man, it's nice. GMC Sierra 4-wheel drive. It's a good truck. It's paid for. I said, Walt. I said, man, I didn't know you were going to do that. I said, God told me to give that truck away. He said, Barry. He said, if I attach strings to those tires, it's not a gift. There are no strings attached to the gift that God has offered. It's a gift. That's why Santa Claus, I hope there ain't no babies in here that believe. You know, there's some parents want their kids to believe. We had a really cool discussion in children's church. I'm probably letting the cat out of the bag. Not all the kids believe. And they were preaching it in children's church. He's not real. I don't believe Jesus was born December 25th. I don't believe that at all. But now's the time that we celebrate his coming. And I am not an idolater. I am not a pagan. I love Jesus. He knows he can have me. He's already got me. And Santa Claus is a horrible misrepresentation of Christmas. Because all of his gifts come with strings. He's checking a list. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and nice. And it's only the nice kids that get gifts. If you're not a nice kid, all you get's a lump of coal. I got tow sacks full of it, Larry. I'm just kidding. That's not a gift. It's not a gift. They had to earn it. It's a wage. Jesus didn't attach strings to the gift. He emptied himself. He stepped out of glory. He went through the process of birth. 12 years old, he's standing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he is confounding them because they don't understand. Before Abraham was, I am. And he's in the garden and he's praying the night before he's crucified. He had lived a sinless life. He'd done everything that Father had commanded he do. He'd done everything that Father demanded that he do. He was the perfect sacrifice. He's the perfect gift. No strings attached. But he's having some second thoughts. Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, he said. But not my will. Yours be done. And he endured things that you and I cannot, we cannot even begin to comprehend. All of our suffering and the things that we have went through and the things that we're suffering now, the trouble, the tribulation, the pressure, all of that. Jesus felt the weight of the sin of the world. He realized that when this sin was being punished upon him, Father turned away and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? We have never known since we came into covenant relationship with God a single time of him forsaking us before we were in covenant with him. He was pursuing us. He did everything to save us. He brought the free gift to us. Only Jesus sacrificed. That's why he's the only way. There is no other way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but they would have everlasting life. John said it. He said, Jesus said to those who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you remember what I ask you to remember? Commit your way to the Lord. Roll the heaviness of your life to the Lord. He has a gift for you. He will take the destruction of your life. He'll take the despair of your life. He'll take the death of your life. If you will roll it to him, he will take that and he will give you salvation. He will give you forgiveness. He will give you healing. He'll give you deliverance. He will open the jail cell. He will break off the chains. He will set you free, because that's what Jesus does. All you got to do is get started and stay. In Psalm 37, we're instructed to roll our lives to him. No matter how heavy, no matter how hard it's been, roll it to him. God has made a refuge for him. He's created a refuge for you. He's made a shelter from the storm of life. Roll your life to the Lord and then stay. You don't get out of the shelter because you're stupid. We're all that way. You get out of the shelter because you say, I don't need that anymore. I'm done with you, Jesus. I'm not living for you. I'm done with you. I don't believe you anymore. See, he's offered you and me forgiveness of sin, and in its place righteousness through the blood of Jesus. Will you accept the free gift from God? Will you roll your life to God and simply say, God, here's my life. It's too heavy for me. As we stand to our feet all across this room, I hope and I pray that either someone's watching via technology, or there's somebody in this room that would say, I'm just tired of the weightiness of this world. I am so tired of the heaviness of life. I've got to have some relief. Jesus, is there mercy for you, for me? And Jesus will answer you, yes, there is mercy for you. There is a free gift, and all he's asking you to do is just roll the heaviness to him and say, I'm tired of carrying this. It's wearing me out. Where is this free gift of salvation that you offer, Jesus? As some music begins to play, if we can get that going, I'm just going to ask you, I'm going to invite you, receive the best Christmas present you'll ever get in all your life. I told Randy this morning, I said, you know, one of the things that I regret is that I did not take better care of myself when I was younger. I can feel some of my stupidity. But in March of 1993, Jesus walked into my living room and I received him. And whatever that is, 30 some years, I have never regretted receiving the gift that Jesus offered. And there's some times that I thought I had to work for it. There's been times that I didn't really understand it was a gift. And that's why I preach it over and over and over. Because I know what it's like to live in condemnation. I know what it's like to live in guilt. I know what it's like to live in shame. I know what it's like to not believe you're good enough. I get all of that. But I'm telling you, He's offering the gift to you. Will you come? Will you turn the music up? And I just, these altars are open. I feel compelled that there's somebody in here that needs to roll the heaviness of life onto Jesus and receive that free gift. I can't tell you how strongly I'm experiencing this morning. Whether you're watching via technology or whether you're in this room, just this sounds weird. I know you can't literally come to the altar, but would you just come to the altar? Would you say, I receive the gift, Jesus, by faith. I receive it by faith. Come. Boy, there's somebody in here. I know there is two or three. You need to come. You need to come. You need to come. You need to come. Jesus. Jesus. Come on, saints, pray. Jesus. Jesus.
God, we
Jesus. Jesus. Oh God, I praise you. I praise you. Tell you God loves you. He loves you.
So that I'm not satisfied.
No more shame.
To have more of you.
No more shame.
It's a
no more guilt.
Oh,
the Lord convicting me is not the guilt and the shame. He shows me where I'm wrong. Without making me feel useless and worthless. I break the power of guilt and shame off this place. Lord, I release Holy Ghost conviction. I release the conviction of the Holy Ghost. But I renounce shame. I renounce guilt. I renounce condemnation. This will not be a house of condemnation. But this will be a house of salvation. This will be a house of prayer. This will be a place where lives are transformed. This will be a place where the Spirit of the Lord is free to move. Somebody ought to give God some praise.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.